It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. It's also available as a podcast. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. And I'm also on Facebook. Joe Shearer of the Film Yap and writing for Metro Mix is sitting in with me today. How are you, Joe?
I'm just fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a busy, busy week because it's one of the major festivals going on in Indianapolis. Of course, last night was the beginning of the Indianapolis International Film Festival, and I'll have a chat with Lisa Trifone a little bit later on in the show, and I'll talk with Joe about an article he did recently about the movie theaters that you and I and everybody else go to around town and how they fared. However, opening in theaters today, this is a film that all of us film critics, the IFJA, this is one we've been waiting for. I think there were two that I think we all agreed on that we had high hopes for. One was Toy Story 3, mm-hmm. and this one, Inception, the latest from writer and director Christopher Nolan. Yes, Dark Knight, Memento, so on and so forth. And it stars Leonardo DiCaprio as a man who, well, basically he goes into your dreams and snatches things for money. Because why wouldn't you? You don't do that for free or for fun. So here's some audio.
There's one thing you should know about me. I specialize in a very specific type of security. Subconscious security.
You're talking about dreams?
Mr. Carl has a job offer he would like to discuss with you.
Like a work placement?
Not exactly.
We create the world of the dream. We bring the subject into that dream, and they fill it with their secrets.
Then you break in and steal it.
Well, it's not strictly speaking legal.
It's called Inception. I'm ready.
I think I found a way home. And this last job, that's how I get there.
Dreams feel real while we're in them. It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange.
It's your responsibility. You're not prepared for this.
Dreams collapsing.
I have it under control.
I need to see out of control.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Leonardo DiCaprio is surrounded by, as usual with a Christopher Nolan film, a rock-solid supporting cast. Everybody from Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Marianne Cotillard, Ellen Page, Ken Watanabe, even in just two scenes, Michael Caine and Pete Postlethwaite, and this film finally delivers. I always go back to your Film Yap comrade who, after Prince of Persia, declared this the worst summer ever for movies, and I think with Inception, not as bad.
Yeah.
Not as bad. It's about time.
Yeah, I think we got the first lift we need. This is what I'm hearing.
Easily the best film of the summer. And what works is, one, Christopher Nolan, probably one of the best directors out today. One, it's an original material written by Nolan. What a concept. It's not based on a video game or a movie or a TV show from the 80s or a movie from the 80s.
Or a comic book.
Or a comic book or a comic book that was made into a TV series in the 80s. What also helps is that this film, yes, it's about a man who invades your dreams and inserts and takes out things from your subconscious, but it's shot and feels like a heist film. And there's some going into the dreams and going into dreams. There's a moment of the film, I'm not giving anything away, where you're going into a person's third level of dreaming, so getting into a person's wow. dreams, who's dreaming of so on and so forth. It's easy to follow. If I can follow it, you can follow it. Hopefully you can follow it. And the fact that it's shot like a heist film and it doesn't turn into, you know, the last two Matrix films filled with psychobabble really helps out. Solid acting across the board. This was just a breath of fresh air that I think everybody needed, and I hope everybody goes out and embraces this.
Now if this is a gigantic hit, is Nolan now the reigning king of the summer blockbuster?
Interesting.
Are we ready to give him that?
I'd love to take it, snatch it out of Michael Bay's hands, of course, or Jerry Bruckheimer's hands, uh-huh. sure. Well, let's see. He's had three, mm-hmm. because I don't think the Prestige was a summer release, right?
Yeah,
so, maybe. I don't know if I want that much pressure on him to have to chunk out something every year. Hi, Will Smith. You know, take his own sweet time on this.
Yeah. He'll immediately, for the next Batman film, cast Will Smith as Batman.
So. No, he's not. No, and it's, oh, see, now you got me thinking about the one thing, because one of the things that irks me in this business is when I read about potential castings or things that could be, and now you've got, because of that, you bring that up, Joe, damn you, is, you know, the last one I heard about the next Christopher Nolan project was that Philip Seymour Hoffman was going to play the Penguin.
I've heard Johnny Depp Riddler, so.
Okay, well, that's,
same
yeah,
boat.
Those are great, wish in one hand and do something in the other, and we'll just move on, but yeah. No trailer, no poster, I don't care. But I do care about Inception. Go see this film. It's about time. It's a movie for grown-ups. And well done, well thought out, and easy to follow, even by Christopher Nolan standards. And this is the dude that wrote and directed Memento. And my Memento story, of course, is, you know, on the DVD, if you pass the psychological exam, you get to watch the film in chronological order. It took me 7 times to watch it because it doesn't stop.
Uh-huh.
So finally I had to say to my family, like, look, can you just not bother me for an hour and 50 minutes so I can see this in chronological order, just see if it does anything? Mm-hmm. It kind of did. So anyway, you don't have that problem with this. Go see Inception. Don't miss it.
Yes.
Gosh, another film. Well, this is going to be remade by Hollywood, but we're talking about the original source. It's the second of a trilogy from the laughing, happy country of Sweden. No, they make fun films in Sweden, too, but it's The Girl Who Played with Fire. Now, we just left The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that just left theaters, and now we have the second of three films. Mm-hmm. And it's an unlikely pairing, if you missed the first film, and shame on you if you did, of a young girl who's a professional hacker, computer hacker, who teams up with a disgraced journalist. And in the first film, it was to find solve an old 40-year-old murder mystery. This time around, there's some sex trafficking, and the girl is up on charges of murder.
This year, one cinematic event captivated audiences across the globe. Now, the girl with the dragon tattoo will play with fire.
Joe Shearer, can we believe? I guess I have to ask: is did this wet your whistle? Because there's two grown-up movies opening in Indy on Friday.
It was not bad. It was maybe a step down from the first one, from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But it's very much a coherent story. It follows from almost where the first one ends, and there is the who was that guy?
Who is that? I mean,
the
are you talking the reporter?
No, the guy who rapes her.
Her guardian. Guardian.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. The cruel gentleman from the first one.
That's right.
He is still around. I hope I'm not giving anything away there. And she now has some measure of authority over him. She has the goods on him, so to speak. And,
right.
And things happen where she is set up for a couple of murders, and she has to kind of stay hidden from the people who would kill her while, you know, she's also proving her own innocence. And of course, her journalist friend is there to help her once again.
And they have a really odd bond, which you very see strange. A lot more of in the first film. Not as much in this one. But there is that. The first film has a really uncomfortable moment with the girl's guardian and her against her will, and then an even more uncomfortable of a hard candy level comeuppance. That's a good way of wording it. And this one they stay separate. It's still very suspenseful, very well acted.
Oh, yes.
I'm gonna butcher names, but I'm gonna try it anyway. But Michael Nyqvist is the journalist, and I'm sorry, Michael Brumvist plays the journalist. And Noomi Rapace plays the girl, and they're solid. I think I'm with you. I still enjoyed it. It's a dip down, I suppose, but I think it's what we call a stepping stone, getting ready for the third film.
Yeah, and it works. And don't worry, you can't pronounce those names because it'll be Matthew McConaughey and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Don't
soon
bring
enough.
That up. No, we're not talking about the American remake.
It's really annoying that they do that.
However, is David Fincher still attached to this?
I am not sure.
Only redeeming factor if that's true.
Yeah, I would buy that, if he's going to make them. But, I mean, really, these films are good enough. And, honestly, is it that hard to read subtitles?
We've banged our heads up against walls and hit our own shoes, and sometimes I guess it is. So just, grow a pair and go watch, not to be confused with the film at the film festival.
Yeah.
But go check this out as well. It's well worth seeing.
Yes.
Now, one other movie note, if you don't have any plans, and it's okay if you don't, tonight at the IMA at midnight, they're showing outdoors the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again. Joe, were you a Rocky Horror guy?
I went exactly once a couple years ago.
A couple years back
at Hollywood Bar and Filmworks before they closed down.
They didn't auction you off as a virgin?
No, I actually kept my hand down during that particular moment. But I did get a nice little initiation from a guy with a spiked collar and a pair of fake vampire teeth and contacts who called me a foul name for no good reason to my wife, who then proceeded to tell him that she was married to me, and he... they were in line in front of her, in front of us, and I was collecting people for intake at the time.
Right.
And he said something nasty about me for no good reason that I probably can't repeat here.
No.
And she said, "That's my husband," and he proceeded to move far away. So that was the last I saw of him.
Did you enjoy the film, or I should say, did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I must say, I had a good time seeing Susan Sarandon in her skivvies.
That was my first feel of any kind. I was very young when I saw it, thanks to my older brother and dad. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, good campy fun. If you've never seen it, wow, and. Yeah, go see it, definitely, and especially midnight. I think midnight at the IMA is better than midnight at the Oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we have to mention Sorcerer's Apprentice Open, also known as Nicolas Cage trying to get out of debt. All right, we're going to take a short break and talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Listen, Goyle, these glasses are 6 for $2 because I couldn't carry 12. But I wanted 12. So today I'm buying 6 more. But you should only charge me $1.50 for it. It's all right. You can ask the manager.
Frank, I need a price check.
Man, old Jewish ladies will argue forever with a cashier about anything.
These glasses...
You get behind them in line, and you're going to wait forever, man.
Because I can't wait for that. So today...
I mean, I'm a kid myself, and women in my family are like that. But I never got used to it. I mean, I may be cheap, but I got limits, man.
Let me explain one more time. These glasses are $6 for $2.
Wake up! Your whole life's getting eaten away with this kind of crap. What kind of existence is this? Is this all a working stiff like you can expect? You're going to suffer in silence for the rest of your life, or are you going to make a mark? Huh? Huh? Huh?
Okay, I have the money right here. Even money, $1.50. You don't even have to open the cash register. Even change and do...
Welcome back to Film Sociology here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Joe Shearer is here with me of the Film Yap and
Howdy.
Metro Mix. Howdy. And, yes, we didn't play music during the break. I played for you a clip from the film American Splendor as a way of raising our glasses and saying salute to cartoonist and eccentric personality Harvey Pekar, who died this past week. So thank you for all your work, Harvey.
Absolutely. If you saw, if you were a Facebook friend of mine, you would have seen a few weeks back my complete unfettered joy that Harvey Pekar added the Film Yap, you know, as a friend on Twitter.
Really?
And I found out Nick Rogers, my colleague at the Film Yap, our colleague in the IFJA, had done a post on his 365 films on American Splendor. He caught wind of it and followed us on Twitter.
Oh.
Wonderful. So, yeah, very sad to see him go.
So salute to Harvey. Thank you so much for all your memories. And if you haven't seen American Splendor, go see it. This was Paul Giamatti's first step into putting pig vomit in the closet, at least for the time being.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we got a couple of films that came out on DVD and Blu-ray that I definitely want to chat with you about. The first one is the erotic drama Chloe, which is directed by everyone's favorite Canadian filmmaker, Adam McGoyan, and it stars Amanda Seyfried, Liam Neeson, and Julianne Moore. Neeson and Moore are a couple, and she suspects her husband of cheating, so she hires a prostitute, played by Siegfried, Mamma Mia. Mm-hmm. She's not writing the letters to Juliet. She's apparently doing unspeakable things with Liam Neeson. Ladies, calm down. And it's one of those, it's not things are what they seem, but who do you trust?
Did you find that waitress sexy?
Which one?
The one you were flirting with.
Oh, come on. I was being friendly.
I don't usually meet with women. Couples, yes, but a single woman.
I think my husband would like you.
What's your name?
It's Chloe.
My husband's cheating on me.
At least I think he is.
I want you to see him.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Can I borrow your sugar?
Sure.
I want to find out. See what he does if you present yourself to him.
I said to him that we should go to Allen Gardens. And then he said he could not kiss me because he's married. We walked through his exotic flowers. And then I am...
I didn't ask you to do that.
He asked me if he could kiss me.
She's in my house all night and nobody tells me? This business transaction, which is what this was, is over.
First thing out of the box, just answer anybody's question. Is there a scene involving all three actors? No.
Nope.
Is there a scene involving two actors? Yes.
Yes.
I'm not telling you which combination. So there you go. I've been a fan of Adam Egoyan since The Sweet Hereafter, which is a lot of people's introduction to Mr. Egoyan's work. And I was happy to see a mature, erotic thriller that doesn't get dumb.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was very good. I know my colleague Chris Lloyd, he kind of was down on it just a little bit. He kind of was disappointed in the ending. I kind of liked where it went.
I liked the way it ended because I try not to reward films for what they are not, but I kept thinking if this was done in the States, that ending would have lasted about 20 minutes and had about four false endings. And,
yeah.
But it was a cool, and I kind of had an idea going in. It was nice to know that I wasn't 100% sure going in. Or at least halfway through how it was going to turn out. Solid performances from the three of them.
Oh, yes.
A nice contrast from Siegfried after doing Letters to Juliet, not showing my daughter this film. And I was able to get past the idea of, if you're cheating on Julianne Moore, you're an idiot.
Yeah, so, but if you're going to do it, Amanda Siegfried is the one to do it with. So.
Wow, that's a quote that won't make the box, Joe. Thanks. We're sending her that on Twitter as well. But yeah, this film, I think it played in town, albeit briefly.
Yeah, it did.
But,
I saw it with my wife. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
How'd that go?
It went fine.
Big discussion on the way home?
Yeah, maybe.
Is she going to hire a blonde prostitute to follow you two? Not you two.
Oh,
but.
Wait. Is that who that was? Oh,
nice.
I got to make a phone call.
I bet you do. Anyway, a well-made thriller, which is something to say, even before Inception came out. So go rent it, or if you're in one of those moods, go buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes!
Also on DVD and Blu-ray this week is Greenberg, the latest from writer-director Noah Baumbach, who gave us The Squid and the Whale and Margot at the Wedding. This stars Ben Stiller. Caution, he's acting in this one. It's a drama. It's a comedy drama, but it's not goofy. And he plays a nearing 50-year-old man who just had got out of an institution for having a nervous breakdown and is house sitting and develops an interesting relationship with his brother's housekeeper, nanny, fill in the blank. Young girl half his age.
Yeah.
Here's some audio.
Youth is wasted on the young.
I'd go further. I'd go life is wasted on people.
Hey, Greenberg, what are you doing these days?
You know, I've been in New York, but right now I'm really trying to do nothing for a while.
That's brave at our age.
Dear Starbucks, in your attempt to manufacture culture out of fast food coffee, you've been surprisingly successful for the most part. The part that isn't covered by the most part sucks.
By you.
In what way?
You seem really fine doing nothing. You don't feel all the pressure to be successful. I mean, by other people's standards.
What do people say about me?
They think you don't make any efforts.
I'm making my brother's family a doghouse.
Let me take it slow. I just got out of a long relationship, and I don't want to go from just having sex to just having sex to just having sex.
Who's the third just having sex?
You, if we have sex. He seems vulnerable.
My dog is sick.
Survival rate is about 50-50.
This is stupid, but I can't catch it, right?
No, it's something only dogs can get.
I want to be doing nothing. I'm doing nothing deliberately.
You like me so much more than you think you do.
What happened to me?
It's huge to finally embrace the life you never planned on.
I'm freaked out by you kids. Your parents were too perfect at parenting. All that baby Mozart and Dan Zane songs. You're all ADD and carpal tunnel. Hope I die before I end up meeting one of you in a job interview.
I was a fan, big fan of Squid and the Whale, and I think the underappreciated Margot at the Wedding.
I agree.
And I get excited when Ben Stiller actually has to act. This is, some would pump this in the same category as Permanent Midnight, mm-hmm. where it's not just, put the camera on Ben and just let him go.
Yeah.
Now, I know Ben also writes, and I'm sure he has his own style, and it's real give and take with some people. But it's one of those, I love when I find out, well, you did a night at the museum, too, so you could do a film like Greenberg.
Yeah.
You make the big budget movie, so you can make the small independent film. It's well made, well written, for the most part. Baumbach has a way of making engaging characters out of pretty despicable people. If you think of Jeff Daniels in Squid and the Whale, Nicole Kidman and Margot at the Wedding, and it started to wear a little bit on me with Greenberg. And trust me, I wish I could do a movie with a co-star half my age, or have a sitcom with a wife half my age. Mm-hmm. This at times was a little hard to swallow as far as the relationship between the two people. So I guess that's a flaw in the writing itself, but the acting real good. Reese Ephens is in this, and that's a guy, you know, the film's going to be slightly better with his presence in it.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, and some nice scenes, especially with them. Ephens and Stiller are former bandmates. They could have been on a major label, and Stiller's character messes it up. Jennifer Jason Leigh is somebody he has pined for in the past and has a chance to maybe go after, but sticks with the younger girl, mm-hmm. who's quite good in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it's decent, but I'm going to be interested to see what he does next, because this is starting to push it a little bit. But kudos for Stiller for making it.
I think it's overrated.
Shut up, you!
Okay, a few other DVD and Blu-ray notes. I guess I should bring this up for my old producer, Melissa Davis. The documentary Don't You Forget About Me, a tribute to John Hughes, is out. Take that for what it is. Warner Brothers has out the Film Noir Classic Collection Volume 5, Cornered, Desperate, The Phoenix City Story, Deadline at Dawn, Armored Car Robbery, Crime in the Streets, Dial 1119, and Backfire. On Blu-ray, would you buy this on Blu-ray if you had to? In Bruges.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Our colleague's top film of the year at Johnsonata, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Blu-ray, I guess in time with the film Inception coming out, Insomnia.
Oh, yes.
The remake with the one of the dark performances by Robin Williams and a less screamy Al Pacino.
Yeah.
So take that. Yes, I'll be getting this because I'm a collector and I'm sad. Mystery Science Theater 3000, Volume 18, with... This time around, it's the Beast of Yucca Flats, Crash of the Moons, Jack Frost, not the Michael Keaton movie or the horror movie, and Lost Continent. So, yes, we love, as Emma puts it, the daddy movies with the funny robots. We love those. And also on Blu-ray this week and DVD, The Bounty Hunter. Did you have to see that?
I missed out on that.
Oh, did you? Yeah, because...
I was sick that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you? Film critic illness?
I was sick of sitting through bad romantic comedy.
I see. See, I had a film idea. See, I have an idea of a film involving Jennifer Aniston handcuffed to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a short break and talk with Josier about his article in Metro Mix about your movie theaters. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This is Peter Bogdanovich, and you're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI Radio.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org, and I'm also on Facebook. Joe Shearer of the Film Yap and Metro Mix is sitting in with me today. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Before we get into the article, what's coming up with the Film Yap? I know it's been updated recently, right?
Yeah. We just updated yesterday. We have a brand new layout, brand new logo. We have brand new features coming soon. It's going to be really great. Check it out. Look at everything we have to offer. Send us in suggestions. Tell us what we have overlooked thus far. This is the Film Yap beta. So, 2.0 beta version, I guess.
Not Betamax.
Not Betamax, no.
Even though it was a better anyway.
Yeah, that's an argument for another time.
Okay. What's coming up? What's recently hit on the website?
Oh, well, of course, we have Indianapolis International Film Festival coverage out the wazoo.
Yes, yes.
We like to say we have the best coverage in the world.
And, you're probably correct on that one. So, except, there's Nouveau's coverage.
Yeah.
I have to mention them because,
They have lovely coverage.
Thank you.
But, yeah, we have tons of interviews. We have reviews of almost everything that the festival has to offer. Of course, we have lots and lots of
things.
Things. We have stuff everywhere.
I love brain freezes on my show.
Yes,
it's great.
I love that. Thank you. We have, I was going to say, a lot of other interviews coming up, too. We, in addition to film festival people, we have kind of stuff here and there, some a mix here and there. I may or may not post an interview with a certain fourth Ghostbuster that lasted a few minutes. We have Deborah Granick, probably maybe week after next, from she's the director of Winter's Bone.
Okay.
Something to be looking for in the future. So as far as, you know, as long as you check out the movie too, you know, we have we'll have a review of that. We'll have a review of everything coming out every week for the rest of time.
And you mentioned the Indianapolis International Film Festival, which opened yesterday, and you can go to indiefilmfest.org for times and showings and prices. And this Sunday at the IMA, it's all taking place at the IMA, but this Sunday at 3, Joe, myself, and a few others of the Indiana Film Journalists Association will be doing a Meet the Critics Forum. Don't send flowers and don't send vegetables.
Nope.
So just come and watch. It's 3 o'clock. It's a lot of fun. And then there's going to be a critics versus filmmakers throwdown, intelligent throwdown thing on Wednesday night at the IMA. That's Wednesday evening?
That is Wednesday evening. I believe the IIFF folks are calling that a cage match.
A cage match.
Yes, I will be in attendance. I will not be participating in the panel, as I selected the five films, the five top secret films that will be discussed there.
I might just sit in the booth and be Gorilla Monsoon. I don't know yet.
I'll be your Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's talk about it. A couple weeks ago, you did a piece for Metromix about the movie theaters in town and in the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. And I know you broke it down as far as atmosphere, snacks, seats.
Mm-hmm. We had the tech.
Oh, and so the tech, yes.
Screen and sound, more or less.
So how many places did you hit, and how long did it take?
Well, I don't have a count here, but I went to everywhere in town, every place
that you can think
in the metro area, from, you know, emanating out from the downtown area into Noblesville, Carmel, Avon and Brownsburg, Greenwood, and as far as Greenfield, as far as going out east.
Man.
It was a trek, and it was a haul, and I ended up doing several in a day. I think I got 7 in a day. I didn't exactly stay for the entire film.
Oh,
sometimes.
You cad.
The 14th time I saw Iron Man 2 was, you know, you know, as much as I like Iron Man, I love Robert Downey Jr., but, you know, it gets to be a bit much. And Shrek was the other one.
Okay.
So, yeah, you may have seen a guy buying tickets 5 minutes after a film started and leaving, you know, maybe 20 minutes before it ended.
Now, did anybody from the theaters know you were coming in? Because I know you're recognizable at a few joints.
Not that I'm aware of, especially the people out west, out in Avon, Brownsburg area that I have, you know, places I've never been. Of course, as you know, we attend quite a few different theaters. So.
And every now and then we get one really that far?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Fascinating. Okay, so I guess let's break it down. We got the four categories, and we're going to keep it bright and sunny because it's film sociology.
Oh, yeah.
As far as atmosphere, who ranked at the top?
Now, my personal favorite for atmosphere actually is the Georgetown 14 out west, which our old friend Ron Keady is out there.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised that it was a, you know, it's an old 12 screen thing, I believe is what they have. And
well, remember when 12 screens were old, were new?
Yes, a little 12 screen setup. And you know, you walk in, it's a very modest from the outside, and it's kind of stuck between the car dealerships and the Value Cities and all those. And you walk in, and it's just this little warm and cozy kind of place. It's very low tech. It's all very analog. And then you go into the theater, and it's, you know, it's stadium seating, nice projection and all that. The seats are very comfortable, but it's just got this really great atmosphere for, much like Key Cinema's had, maybe not to the extent of having the architecture and all that, but it's a lot of fun, you know, and it's a cheap price. So, a great value for what you get.
So there's a trip worth checking out. Now, as far as sound and picture.
Yeah. It's pretty much a dead heat, I think, between AMC Castleton and The Rave out in Plainfield. Maybe The Rave has just a little bit of an advantage. But besides,
being out in Plainfield, no offense to our Plainfield people.
Yeah, that's the one thing I wish.
On the east side of town.
Oh, yeah, I wish that, you know, it was a little closer because it's a fantastic place.
It is.
And it's got great, great tech. And then, of course, the clearest thing I had ever seen in a movie was at Castleton. The first time I went, seeing that digital projection just crisp and beautiful. So
indeed. Okay, now this food I'm interested in because generally, despite most of us being doughy white guys at the IFJA, we don't eat during.
Yeah.
Well, I will say there is one theater in town I will go to because I think the butter's real. But but food wise, who fared out pretty
now,
well?
Now I should. Give you a little caveat that I didn't actually try popcorn everywhere. I was going more for selection.
Oh, okay.
So I did a lot of, I mean, you know, I've eaten a lot of movie theater popcorn. We all have. Yeah, I mean, I found pretty much as far as the theaters go. If you've had one, you've had them all.
And we know it's not butter.
It's
just say what it is.
It's some kind of weird oil. They put a pan under my car and then they put
it in the
car.
I think what's finally happened in the Gulf is finally. I'm sorry, bad joke. All right, but I'm sorry. Go on.
But it's all about variety. You know, you can go get popcorn anywhere. You can go to the grocery store and get popcorn.
But you can't bring it in.
You can't bring it in. No, but you want. I'm thinking specialty items, and there's some good ones around town. Of course. I don't think anybody can even approach Keystone Arts Cinemas, bring some beer into the
beer
theater.
Beer and pizza, hey.
Yeah. And they, you know, they have coffee. And
they do.
Have,
they have other things, you know, for those drinky.
And some of those eclectic kind of candies and, you know.
Endangered species and
yeah.
Some of the others that you don't see anywhere else, or if you do, it's at a highbrow shop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
but,
that.
But the funny thing is, chances are your neighborhood theater will have something that, you know, you just never noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go in and take a nice hard look at the menu and you'll find, you know, pretzels with eight kinds of exotic dips or something. You know, just weird things. I'm trying to remember some of the just oddball things that I remember Carmel had something really strange. It was like fish tacos or something, you know.
No.
Something really bizarre like that.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you just got to look. That's the funny thing.
Just curious, what kind of concession guy are you? When you're actually out with the kid or the family?
Well, when I'm out with the kids now, it's popcorn and some kind of candy.
Chocolate or non-chocolate?
It just depends on what they want. It's,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a lot. Actually, lately it's been the those gummy sour things.
Kids today. Like.
Yeah.
Okay, seats. Because, yeah, that's, especially with our job, we spend a lot of time sitting in those things.
Yeah. AMC has good seats. When they first came out, Chris Lloyd, again, called them the most comfortable seats in town, which I think that's probably pretty close to being accurate. The stadium seating, I think, is kind of the baseline. If you don't have stadium seating, you're not going to be considered. But there's also padding issues. There are the way things held up. Certain theaters didn't quite hold up as well as they could have.
I mean, the seat that comes down, and whoom, it comes out a little faster than you think.
Yes.
And the armrest that you could take off.
Or when you stand up, your arm sticks to the armrest. Yeah, you don't like that.
Why is there Cinemuck? Remember, not necessarily in the news, Sniglets. Cinemuck should be on the floor, not in the armrest.
Yeah.
Do we still have traces of Cinemuck now and then? We won't name names.
There's a couple.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yep. Not many, but
okay.
There's one or two bouncing around.
So overall, if you had to give a gold medal, who wound up on top overall?
I'm going Castleton by a neck over the Rave. The Rave, if you've never been there, is fantastic. AMC is, I believe, still the newest theater in town.
Yes.
And so it's still got that sheen. It's got a great lobby with, you know, the movie quotes on the floor and the nice facade there. It's probably the best place in town, and you know, you can call me a homer if you like. You
homer,
know?
No,
yeah, it's more or less our home theater, I think, for screening.
But no, I will say, go to Plainfield, have dinner, do some shopping, go to a movie because it's all there. It's pretty dense area of business business shopping.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if you're on any side of town and ever have the hankering, there's, you know, any side of town, you have some really legitimately good options for seeing movies.
See, we're not doing bad.
Yeah, you know, give it a shot. It's fun for a little change.
Now, if we could just buy booze on Sundays.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. moving on. So what else have you seen recently? This, you know, good, bad, new, old?
Well, we have our, at home, we got our advanced copy of Clash of the Titans.
Really?
For review, I haven't actually watched it again.
Do they explain why they tried to pull it off in 3D?
I don't think they need to do that.
No, there's do we have a special featurette on the mini Schindler's List reunion between Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson? No?
No, not quite.
Boy, why am I not in charge of DVD production?
I do understand. I think there is a featurette where Louis Leterrier actually said, we actually wanted to subtitle this Schindler's List 2, but...
No, he doesn't.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I imagine that part. But you know, I've been neck deep in festival films
right.
this week and last and the one before that, and I can say they're terrific. You know, go check out some of those festival films.
Yeah, definitely go check that out.
Yeah.
You know, we have several festivals in the city, which is more than some other cities around can mm-hmm. say. And it's a golden opportunity to see some films you've not seen before. And, yes, mm-hmm. there are some films with name people, like yeah. Chris O'Donnell. Of course, Patrick Wilson was in the film that opened last
Jenna
night.
Fisher.
But it's a cool opportunity to check out some newer pictures. And I'll be talking with Lisa in just a moment, but I love the niche documentaries. Ever since maybe Spellbound,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it goes before that, but there's Trekkies and Spellbound,
yeah.
where there's just a niche documentary where hopefully you don't have to be an enthusiast about said subject to still enjoy the show.
And by the way, if you would like to read an interview with Trekkies director Roger Nygaard, www.thefilmyap.com, we have one.
How'd that go?
Very well. He was actually a pretty nice guy. He spoke very in-depth about Trekkies. I am an old Star Trek fan, and I asked him lots about that. I asked him about the dentist and his wife who loved the role play and embarrassed Denise Crosby.
Or the not the Spiner Femmes.
No.
Spiner
no,
Femme, I
yeah,
should say.
Yeah,
creepy.
We didn't get to them or the Star Trek juror.
That's right. Or the kid that should be shaken violently for
yeah.
for all of his quibbles.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I did actually, when I was in Muncie, I actually got to see the Shatners in concert.
Because
they made a second film. They made because
mm-hmm.
just doing one wasn't enough. And
yes.
in Trekkies 2, they go to a lot of places overseas. But for some reason, there is a Star Trek music scene. I think it was in Portland. And there's a Klingon thrash band, and there was a couple of Star Trek bands, but in 1993, up in Muncie off campus at the Ball State University,
mm-hmm.
there was a performance by the Shatners, and these guys claimed to be from space, and they had a cardboard cutout of Bill in in his full regalia, and all they did were surfer instrumentals.
What you said they claim they're from space?
Yes.
I think they're fakes.
Any
Shatnerian expert would know.
They're from Iowa.
They're from Iowa. They only work in space.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see Captain Kirk playing surfer instrumentals either. So, take that. But the explanations of the songs were longer than the songs themselves. They did one called "He's Dead, Jim," and they did a song dedicated to a guy who played an alien in a random episode. I mean, it was a lot of fun. So, but yes, that's my one link to Trekkies and that and watching them. That and Galaxy Quest is a fun double feature.
Oh, yes.
All right, well, Joe Shearer, thank you so much. Give our best to the gang at the Film Yap, and go check them out, filmyap.com.
Yes, thefilmyap.com.
Thefilmyap.com, like the Ball State University.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Or that place in Columbus.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
My name is Angelo Pizzo, and I'm listening to Film Sociology.
Joining me now on Film Sociology is the programming director of the Indianapolis International Film Festival and a return once again, Lisa Trifone. How are you, my lady?
I am great. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, but I don't think I'm nearly as tired as you and Kelly and the rest of the gang, Craig and everybody else. Hello. I know your big opening was last night.
Mm-hmm.
Tell everybody about this year's IIFF.
Oh my gosh, this year's Indie Film Fest is one not to miss. I can't believe that we're already here, that it's festival time again this year. Everything is kicked off, we're in full swing for over 100 films that we're screening from more than 20 countries are all at your doorstep right here in Indianapolis.
Some of the countries include?
Germany, Latvia, Australia, Cambodia, Africa.
Those peepers from Canada.
Canada.
That's a title, don't worry about it. I know what I'm saying.
And everywhere in between.
So it seems like every year the submissions have increased. More people around the world in the film community are finding out about our festival.
Yeah, it's a really, really neat trend to see. You know, this is our seventh film festival. So we're essentially a baby in the film festival world. When you think about, you know, the New York Film Festival is on its 49th year or something like that. So to see not only the filmmakers embrace it, and, you know, we sifted through hundreds of submissions this year, but to see the community get behind it and just be so jazzed about the festival is really exciting.
Does this mean you're getting noogies from Heartland? I'm kidding, Jeff Sparks. I kid. That's, you know what
we
I mean?
Love. I even hold a special place for Heartland in my heart. So we kid.
Okay. So as far as how about from a local standpoint, how are we on? Because I know there's LaPorte, Indiana, which it's not local filmmakers, but it is about the city itself.
Right. Right. So LaPorte, Indiana, is a great example of Hoosier filmmaking. It's fantastic documentary about some pictures that were found just in the back of a diner, and they turned it into this beautiful story, these portraits of residents in LaPorte. We've got a film by a local filmmaker, a film called Amanda.
You mean Amanda? If you know that, it's... Go ahead and tell them.
Well, the premise of the film would be that boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, boy finds out the girl was born a boy. So,
Forrest Whitaker doesn't show up? No, sure.
So it's a little bit of a twist on your average romantic comedy, but it was made right here in Indianapolis. It's a really neat experience for a local audience. You're going to be watching it thinking, I know where that is. I've been there. I've eaten in that restaurant.
I've seen those actors. Now, I know there's one of them called Movers and Stakers, am I right?
Yeah.
About the old Indiana National Road?
Absolutely. So that one's actually coming up at the end of the festival. It screens the last weekend, and it's kind of paired in a Hoosier program, if you will. It's preceded by a documentary, a story about Edgar Whitcomb, the former governor, and then also one about, it's called Awful Grace, a story about the Martin Luther King memorial. So a nice little package of Indiana films.
Now, all you mentioned earlier, the short. Now, there's a lot of the films that come with one or two shorts, short features, short docs, what have you. So it's also an opportunity to get a kind of a double feature, but a chance for short films to be viewed.
Absolutely. That's one of the most exciting parts of it for me, honestly. That's where we get that 109 number of films, over 100 films. There's nine, I believe, different shorts programs. So for the price of one ticket, you can get up to 10 films to see in one sitting. And yeah, it's some incredible stories being told in 4 and 5 and 6 minute, you know, featurettes.
Now, I checked on the website, and plug the website while you're there.
IndieFilmFest.org.
There you go.
Visit it.
Now, one of the things I love is, especially from documentaries to, I mean, feature films with people you maybe haven't thought about, or it's interesting that they're doing smaller work.
Sure.
I know Chris O'Donnell and Jenna Fisher are doing a film like A Little Help.
The buzz around that film is stellar, and it's all well-deserved. And actually, I can share with you, I'm okay with confirming this, that we've got the director and producer will be on hand for the Sunday screening.
Ah.
Of A Little Help. It's Sunday at 1 p.m., I believe. Check that at indiefilmfest.org. But we'll have the filmmakers on hand. And you're exactly right. It's a film that it's screams independent from just the tone of it and the budget of it and the story of it. It's very character-driven. But it's such a heartfelt story, and one that you know, has gotten the attention of people who have screened films early. And I hope the audience here at the festival.
Now, the documentaries that you guys have, what I love about these documentaries is that it's kind of a niche focus. So it's one of those, hopefully, whether you're into the subject or not, you go and appreciate the story.
Sure.
For instance, like Ball Hawks, which is about those guys that chase the home run and foul balls outside of Wrigley Field.
Absolutely.
A Chicago filmmaker sent that to you?
It is. It's a Chicago filmmaker. His name's Mike Diedrich. He'll be down here as well for his screenings. And that's exactly it. I think that it resonated when we started screening and watching these films. It resonated because... How many Cubs fans are in this city?
Too many. No, a kid. That was for all my White Sox fans out there.
So, yeah, that's another one that it's this glimpse into this subculture almost of people who might be a little off their rocker, but you can't help but love them because they're so passionate about something.
They're following the Cubs, therefore. It's been a long time. Now, I couldn't remember if this was a documentary or a feature because of, you say, the niche, about the Muslim punk scene in Buffalo.
That's the Taquacores.
The Taquacores.
The Taquacores.
Taquacores.
And it's actually the name of the movement, the Muslim punk movement. It's a feature film. It's a narrative film. We're featuring it Saturday night, right at 6:45. So definitely one to check out. And it's an incredibly poignant story of, again, this culture that you would never even... would never even cross your mind necessarily as you go about your day-to-day business here in Indianapolis.
You also have, from a local standpoint, the Wayman Tisdale story, the basketball player turned jazz musician.
Right. If that one doesn't get you shedding a tear, you're heartless.
That's true. and there's also American, the Bill Hicks story, and Special When Lit, about pinball machines from the 50s and 60s.
It's fascinating.
Okay.
I think there was a comment, it might have been our dear friend Lou who made the comment about it's a good film that makes you want to play pinball instead of watch people talk about it. but an entertaining ride nonetheless.
Now there's a film that seems like, it sounds like a wrestling match, but it's not. Jimmy Tupper versus the Goatman of Bowie?
Jimmy Tupper versus the Goatman of Bowie is
Bowie,
actually how you pronounce it. I kept pronouncing it incorrectly myself, but it is the dude flick of the festival,
uh-oh,
let's say. It's this found footage, pseudo-documentary, potential zombie ride of a romp. It's a blast.
Less whiny than Blair Witch?
Less whiny.
Okay, good. The Things We Carry. Woman who returns from backpacking in Asia for 3 years,
mm-hmm,
and mother dies and leaves a secret.
Sure. I mean, talk about human drama and character-driven. It's two extremely different sisters coming at a tragedy and their shared experiences, realizing just how different they really are and yet what they've got in common. It's sort of along the lines of A Little Help. It's a epic, you know, that you'll from beginning to end have appreciated gone on the journey with them.
And Twisted Roots, I know, is from Finland.
Twisted Roots is from Finland, yes. Without playing my hand too heavily, it's a phenomenal film. I watched a lot of films this year,
yes,
ones that got programmed and didn't get programmed, and Twisted Roots made me cry. Twisted Roots was the first feature that made me cry.
You don't cry.
It is powerful.
There you go. Also, World's Largest, which is apparently a documentary about towns that have the world's largest fill-in-the-blank.
Fill-in-the-blank. The world's largest buffalo. The world's largest sting bee. The world's largest ball of yarn. It's a riot. It's a hoot to think, you know, it's this pure snapshot of Americana. And, you know, they do a great job in telling a documentary in that it's these snapshots, but they also follow the story of a town that's seeking to have the world's largest something and what happens with them.
Teamwork.
Exactly.
And it seemed like, as going through the list, there was a recurring theme with a few films about lost youth or clutching on the youth. Like, I know Closing Night is Skateland.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is one we're really, really excited about. It's been a festival darling around the circuit this year. It's been at Sundance and South by Southwest, and we're really excited to bring it to Indianapolis as our closing night. It's directed by a gentleman named Anthony Burns, with some fairly familiar faces in the cast, Ashley Green of Twilight fame. It's Saturday the 24th. We'll be featuring it as our closing night. And you're right, it's exactly this sort of coming of age, moving forward with life. Things aren't always as easy as we wish they were, with that oh-so-retro feel of 1983 nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's paired with a great party that we've got set up at Creation Cafe on the canal. And word on the street is that there's an 80s theme encouraged. So members-only jackets and crimped hair encouraged.
Problem is I wore the same stuff then I do now. there's also, I know, Philip the Fossil and Exit 117 and No Names, which are all about
trying to
clutch on to your youth.
You know, but I think they all bring something unique. They're,
right.
They're all looking at different approaches maybe to a similar story. I mean, who hasn't sort of freaked out about what the heck am I doing with my life and where am I going to end up? You know, Exit 117, I've seen, and I've read so many reviews lately that I'm not sure who said it, but, you know, it's sort of the everyman's version of The Hills. Is that the show on MTV?
Look who you're talking to. why I'm 40. Why am I watching MTV?
I don't know.
You're probably right.
But this idea that, you know, it's these kids that you just believe and you just root for them in the end. You know, Philip the Fossil is a guy who's been through a lot and realizing that he's got himself comfortable in this sort of dead-end rut and he's really not so comfortable anymore. And how do you dig yourself out of that? So some really poignant in the American Spectrum features category, some poignant stories.
So for ticket information and schedules and all that stuff, where do they go?
IndieFilmFest.org, the one and only. Absolutely.
Lisa, thank you so much for hanging out today.
Thank you for letting me talk about the films.
Has spoken.